False Proofs of Evolution, Part 1. Although the theory of evolution has been utterly discredited in every field of science, there have been determined efforts to keep it alive, for various ideological reasons, for over the last 150 years. An examination of evolutionist literature shows how the evidence evolutionists have produced in support of their theory has subsequently either emerged to be fraudulent or else scientifically invalid. Even some leading evolutionists now agree on the fact that evolution possesses no tangible scientific evidence, and that the supposed proofs produced to date are all invalid and unscientific. There are so many admissions regarding the invalidity of the theory of evolution made by evolutionists that they could fill several volumes of books. Yet the theory of evolution continues to receive the support that it has failed to receive from science, from various ideological circles and part of the media, which has assumed the responsibility for propagating these circles as propaganda. These circles still impose the false and misleading evidence that even evolutionists have removed from the literature, and which have been left with absolutely no validity on society and press and media organs, as if they still represented scientific reality. Their aim is to turn people away from the fact that Allah created them, and thus convince them to the lie that they are individuals which came into being by chance and descended from apes. They seek thus to produce large masses of people stripped of all moral and spiritual values, unaware, unbelieving, unprincipled, and having a low character and low esteem, who can easily be led in the direction desired by certain centers of power. We need to have a sound knowledge of the true nature of the theory of evolution and the kinds of false evidence on which it is built in order not to be deceived by these circles with their ulterior motives. In this film, we will be examining just some of the false and misleading evidence and deceptions that some evolutionists have come up with in order to lead people astray over the course of the last 100 years or so. In 1912, a team led by a British amateur paleontologist by the name of Charles Dawson discovered a fossil, the jaw of which exhibited ape-like characteristics, although the cranium itself had human features. The fossil was given the name Piltdown Man and was exhibited as definitive proof of evolution in the world's best-known museums over the following 40 years. The fossil possessed a number of very interesting features. Although the cranium had quite a large volume, its jaws resembled that of an orangutan, on which were two molar teeth, again similar to those in human beings. These characteristics stunned the scientific world. A scientific classification, Eoanthropus Dawsoni, was soon produced for this fossil, which began being referred to as Piltdown Man. It was estimated to be around 500,000 years old. It was thus depicted as supposed evidence for the claim that human beings and apes are descended from a common ancestor. An air of rejoice immediately began dominating the evolutionist press. The impact of the fossil on the world of paleontology was truly enormous. So enormous that some 500 doctoral theses would be written about it over the next 40 years, until it was understood to be a hoax. This fossil, which symbolized the alleged victory of evolution, was put on display in the British Museum, one of the most famous in the world. It was examined not only by famous scientists from all over the world, but also by countless visitors. But Piltdown Man's victory was thus to be short-lived. In 1949, Kenneth Oakley from the British Museum's Paleontology Department developed a new method of determining the age of fossils. He began using this technique, to which he gave the name of the fluoride test, on the fossils in the museum. Oakley was stunned by the reality of what the test results revealed about the Piltdown Man skull. The jawbone contained no fluoride. There was very little in the cranium. This meant that the jawbone was just a few years old, and the skull was a few hundred years old at the most. As the investigations intensified, an enormous reality emerged. The fossil that was once the best known proof of evolution was actually a hoax. The jawbone belonged to a recently deceased orangutan, and the cranium to a human being who had died some 500 years previously. On close examination, it could be seen that the teeth had been subsequently attached to the jaw and abraded using steel tools. Finally, it had been dipped in a solution of potassium dichromate in order to give it an ancient appearance. Detailed analysis by Joseph Weiner definitively proved that the fossil was a hoax. LeGros Clark, a professor of anatomy from Oxford University, was one of those scientists who revealed the fraud. At the end of his investigations, he said, "Indeed, so obvious did they, the scratches, seem that it will be asked, how was it that they had escaped notice before? They had never been looked for. Nobody previously had examined the Piltdown jaw with the idea of a possible forgery in mind, a deliberate fabrication." All the time and effort the scientists had put into examining and interpreting the fossil had been devoted to an expertly manufactured hoax. The professor of anthropology, Clark Howell, made the following comment. "Piltdown was first discovered in 1953 to have been nothing more than an ape's jaw placed with a human skull. It was a hoax placed on purpose. They recognized neither the jaw to be an ape's or the skull to be a human's. Instead, they declared each part as an in-between of ape and human. They dated it to be 500,000 years old, gave it a name, Eonanthropus Dawsoni, or Dawn Man, and wrote some 500 books on it. The discovery fooled paleontologists for 45 years. A most famed of the supposed pieces of evidence proposed by evolutionists was the deceptive scheme of embryo development drawn up by the evolutionist biologist Ernst Haeckel. Darwin had asked Haeckel, a close friend of his, to contribute to his theory by telling him that he would have performed a great work by disseminating the evolutionary doctrine. Haeckel did not turn down this request and came up with a fictitious thesis in order to establish evidence in favor of evolution. He called this the theory of recapitulation. According to this thesis, during the developmental stage, living embryos undergo a short repetition of the evolutionary process that species supposedly underwent. For example, a human embryo in the mother's womb first exhibited fish and then reptile features before finally turning into a human being. However, observations and research in modern laboratories showed that all the illustrations produced by Haeckel in order to back this theory up were fake. In its September 5, 1997 edition, the famous journal Science published an article titled "Haeckel's Embryos, Fraud Rediscovered." This is what was stated. Not only did Haeckel add or omit features, Richardson and his colleagues report, but he also fudged the scale to exaggerate similarities among species, even when there were tenfold differences in size. Haeckel further blurred differences by neglecting to name the species in most cases, as if one representative was accurate for an entire group of animals. It, Haeckel's drawing, looks like it's turning out to be one of the most famous fakes in biology, Richardson concludes. The magazine New Scientist noted this on the subject on October 16, 1999. In fact, Haeckel's strict law was soon shown to be incorrect. For instance, the early human embryo never has functioning gills like a fish, and never passes through stages that look like an adult reptile or monkey. Haeckel's deception went even further, that part of the embryo which Haeckel equated with the yolk sac was actually a sac that produced blood for the baby. The part that he claimed was a tail was subsequently realized to be the human backbone, which resembled a tail because it appeared before the legs. Most interestingly, 100 years before he personally admitted that the illustrations he had produced in order to support his fictitious thesis were actually fakes. After this compromising confession of forgery, I should be obliged to consider myself condemned and annihilated if I had not the consolation of seeing side by side with me in the prisoner's dock hundreds of fellow culprits, among them many of the most trusted observers and most esteemed biologists. The great majority of all the diagrams in the best biological textbooks, treatises, and journals would incur in the same degree the charge of forgery, for all of them are inexact and are more or less doctored, schematized, and constructed. This admission by Haeckel shows that falsehood and deception are techniques frequently resorted to by evolutionists, and that they have no hesitations about persisting in them. Yet these illustrations, which everyone knew to be false, were nevertheless taught as a scientific reality in textbooks all over the world throughout the course of the 20th century, and they are still being taught as such today. In 1922, a time of intense efforts aimed at finding evidence for the theory of evolution, Henry Fairfield Osborn, director of the American Museum of Natural History, announced that he had discovered a fossil molar tooth dating back to the Pliocene epoch near Snake Valley in West Nebraska. It was commonly agreed, on the basis of one single tooth, that this belonged to a so-called ape man. Profound scientific debates were initiated on the subject, which was in fact nothing more than a fantasy. The fossil, which sparked off great controversy, was given the name of Nebraska Man. Nebraska Man was also immediately given a scientific name, Hesperopithecus Harold Cooke. Many authorities supported Osborn. On the basis of this single tooth, reconstructions were made of Nebraska Man's skull and body. They went even further and published illustrations of Nebraska Man with his wife and children and their natural environment. Once again, evolutionists began mobilizing all the means at their disposal for a fictitious scenario. William Bryan, a politician from the state of Nebraska, correctly maintained that the evidence regarding Nebraska Man was totally inadequate, that the evidence available proved nothing, and that people needed to wait for a while longer. Aware that they would be left without their only so-called evidence, evolutionist scientists immediately counterattacked and began issuing statements to the effect that Bryan's mindset was outdated and far from being scientific. Other parts of the skeleton were discovered in 1927. According to these, the original tooth belonged neither to an ape nor a human being. It was realized that the tooth belonged to an extinct species of American wild boar. An article by William Gregory in Science magazine, which announced this error, was titled, "Hesperopithecus Apparently Not an Ape Nor a Man." As a result, Hesperopithecus Haraldkuchi and his family were hurriedly removed from the relevant literature. Yet, as usual, evolutionists continued to behave as if nothing had happened. The only evidence that evolutionists point to in favor of their claims that birds evolved from dinosaurs is a 150 million year old fossil bird, Archaeopteryx, which they maintain was a half bird and a half dinosaur, unable to fly particularly well. However, the latest discoveries have shown that the animal in question is merely an extinct species of bird. The fact that it lacked a sternum, the breastbone where the muscles essential for flight are attached, was indicated as the most important evidence that it was unable to fly. The seventh Archaeopteryx fossil to be discovered in 1992, however, showed that the creature did actually possess such a bone, contrary to what evolutionists had imagined. The presence of this bone proved that Archaeopteryx was a flying bird. Evolutionists depicted the claws on its wings and the teeth in its jaws as proof that Archaeopteryx was an intermediate form, but this was distortion rather than evidence. Birds such as the turaco and the hootsuite, which are living today, also have claws, permitting them to cling onto branches. Some other birds that have lived in the past also had teeth. The fact that Archaeopteryx had asymmetrical feathers is another indication that it was a flying bird. This characteristic is to be found in all flying birds and permits them to fly by giving an aerodynamic structure. All of these findings show that there is no foundation to the evolutionist claims that the Archaeopteryx was an intermediate form. Despite being an evolutionist, Alan Fiducia, a professor from the North Carolina University and one of the world's most eminent ornithologists, strongly opposes the theory that birds are related to dinosaurs. Fiducia says, "Well, I've studied bird skulls for 25 years, and I don't see any similarities whatsoever. I just don't see it. The so-called theropod origins of birds, in my opinion, will be the greatest embarrassment of paleontology of the 20th century." In addition, the recent discovery of fossil flying birds that have lived at the same time as Archaeopteryx have also totally discredited the claim that Archaeopteryx was an intermediate in the imaginary transition from dinosaurs to birds. Of these, the beak, feathers, and skeletal structure of the 140 million years old Confucius ornis discovered in China in 1995, and more or less the same age as Archaeopteryx, exhibit exactly the same characteristics as those of present-day birds. This totally discredits the evolutionist thesis to the effect that Archaeopteryx was the primitive ancestor of all birds. The 130 million year old fossil bird Leoningornis, again discovered in China in November 1996, and the 120 million year old Aeolulavis were also identical to living birds in terms of structure and mechanisms, and they were able to fly in a perfect manner. In an analysis in Discover magazine, Professor Alan Fiducia stated that Leoningornis disproved the evolutionist thesis that birds are descended from dinosaurs. What is the origin of birds? This fossil, Leoningornis, tells us that it is not the dinosaurs. The tale of the peppered moths is depicted as one of the major pieces of evidence in favor of evolution in just about all biology textbooks subscribing to the theory of evolution. This tale is based on an experiment performed by the evolutionist British biologist Bernard Kettlewell in the 1950s, and which may be summarized as follows. At the beginning of the Industrial Revolution in England, the bark on the trees in the area around Manchester was light in color. For that reason, dark-colored moths landing on the trunks of those trees were easily visible to birds that fed on the species, and their survival was thus seriously reduced. 50 years later, however, the death of the light-colored lichen on the tree bark, the result of industrial pollution, led to the trees becoming darker in color. Accordingly, during this time, light-colored moths became praised for birds more often. This time, the number of light-colored moths declined, with darker ones multiplying because they had become invisible. Evolutionists maintain that this is a major confirmation of Darwin's claim of evolution by way of natural selection, and that light-colored moths gradually evolved into dark-colored moths. But this is a deception. This is because both types of moth had been in existence from the very beginning. Both species of moth had, in fact, been seen in a moth collection made in 1811, long before the emergence of industrial pollution in the 1850s. There is therefore no question of a new species emerging by one turning into the other. All that had happened was a change in the numbers of already existing moth species. The moths acquired no new organs or features that might lead to a species change. That is the general response to be given to evolutionist claims regarding the peppered moths. However, there is another even more interesting aspect to the subject. In the same way that evolutionist explanation is incorrect, it also consists of a blatant deception. In his book, The Icons of Evolution, published in 2000, the molecular biologist Jonathan Wells describes how the experiment performed by Kettlewell was actually a scientific scandal. The moths photographed by Kettlewell on tree bark were actually dead. Kettlewell attached these dead creatures on the tree bark with pins and adhesives and photographed them. Since the moths settle on the underside of branches rather than on the tree trunks, Kettlewell had no means of taking any such pictures. It was eventually realized that Kettlewell's account of peppered moths was based on a fraudulent experiment. Researchers investigating peppered moths encountered an even more striking state of affairs. While one would expect there to be greater numbers of light-colored moths in those parts of Britain unaffected by industrial pollution, there were actually four times as many dark-colored moths as light-colored moths. In other words, there was no correlation between the moth populations and tree bark, of the kind claimed by Kittlewell, and repeated in just about every evolutionist reference source. This collapse of the peppered moth myth, the main element in introductory courses in evolution for decades, created enormous disappointment among evolutionists. One of these evolutionists, Jerry Coyne, admitted thus, "My own reaction resembles the dismay attending my discovery at the age of six that it was my father and not Santa who brought the presents on the Christmas Eve." Thus, it was that the most famous instance of natural selection went down in history as a scientific scandal. One of the claims espoused by adherents of the theory of evolution for many years is the scenario of the evolution of the horse. According to this imaginary scenario, a dog-like creature known as Eohippus, which lived some 55 million years ago during the Eocene epoch, is supposedly the horse's first ancestor. This dog-like animal is then alleged to have subsequently evolved, becoming more developed and turning into life forms bearing a closer resemblance to the horse. Eventually, the present-day horse emerged. The fact is, however, that Eohippus, depicted as the so-called ancestor of the horse, and which became extinct millions of years ago, is almost identical to the animal known as the Hyrax, which is still living in Africa and has nothing to do with the horse whatsoever. In addition, fossils of horse species existing today have been discovered in the same stratum as Eohippus, depicted as supposedly the earliest ancestor of the horse. The fact that the present-day horse and its supposed forebear were living at one and the same time is proof that the imaginary process known as equine evolution never happened. The invalidity of the myth of equine evolution has been admitted by a great many evolutionists. Paleontologists Don Prothero and Neil Shubin's idea regarding the horse sequence are as follows. Throughout the history of horses, the species are well marked and static over millions of years. At high resolution, the gradualistic picture of horse evolution becomes a complex bush of overlapping, closely related species. It has been calculated that the true dimensions of the living things portrayed as the forerunners of the horse and arranged chronologically in order of size from small to large in the sequence in question have been distorted. In his book, The Great Evolution Mystery, the evolutionist author Gordon Rattray Taylor describes this deception with these words. But the fact is that the line from Eohippus to Ecus, present-day horse, is very erratic. It is alleged to show a continual increase in size, but the truth is that some variants were smaller than Eohippus, not larger. In November 1980, a four-day conference attended by 150 evolutionists and considering the problems facing the theory of evolution was held at the Chicago Museum of Natural History. Boyce Rensberger, one of the speakers at the conference, expressed his thoughts in these words. The popularly told example of horse evolution, suggesting a gradual sequence of changes from four-toed fox-sized creatures living nearly 50 million years ago to today, much larger one-toed horse, has long been known to be wrong. American paleontologist Niles Eldredge has this to say on the subject. I admit that an awful lot of that has gotten into the textbooks as though it were true. For instance, the most famous example still on exhibit downstairs is the exhibit on the horse evolution, prepared perhaps 50 years ago. That has been presented as a literal truth in textbook after textbook. Now, I think that that is lamentable, particularly because the people who propose these kinds of stories themselves may be aware of the speculative nature of some of the stuff. All of these facts have revealed that the schematic illustrations of the supposed evolution of the horse, depicted as one of the soundest pieces of evidence in favor of evolution, actually consist of distortions devoid of any reality. Evolutionists base their thesis of so-called human evolution, their major claim, on fictitious and imaginary family tree diagrams. They do not have the slightest evidence to support their claim that human beings evolved. For that reason, they manufacture their own evidence by completing the various skull and bone fragments they collect during excavations with hoax illustrations in whatever manner they so choose. They give these imaginary pictures various names and create a supposed family tree of human evolution by setting them out in a sequence of their own choosing. The Nebraska Man hoax, which you saw earlier in this film, is one of the most notable examples of these imaginary representations. Evolutionists produce images of a fictitious human ancestor on the basis of a single tooth that they would later prove to belong to a boar. They went even further and added representations of his wife and children. The imaginary species to which they give the name Nebraska Man was for years portrayed as scientific evidence in evolutionary literature. Naturally, evolutionists' efforts to produce false evidence did not come to an end with the Nebraska Man. Proponents of evolution have produced countless false intermediate forms for their imaginary family tree on the basis of various fragments of bone they have discovered. What encourages evolutionists to produce such false evidence is the large numbers of fossils on which they can base their groundless speculation. More than 6,000 species of ape are known to have lived over the course of history. A large part of these have become extinct and disappeared. Today, there are only 120 species of apes in the world. Therefore, the fossil remains of around 6,000 extinct species of ape represent a rich resource for evolutionists. Evolutionists put together skulls and bone fragments from some of these extinct species according to their requirements. They then arrange these in order of size, from small to large, and write scenarios of human evolution by adding skulls belonging to some extinct human races to this series. This scenario contains a great many imaginary species that never actually existed at all. The false nature of all these imaginary species claimed to represent the forerunners of human beings, such as Java Man, Beijing Man, and Lucy, have all been demonstrated over and over again. And evolutionists have countless times admitted that the fossils they have submitted as evidence are a very far cry from being in the slightest bit scientific. A great many fake fossils have been proposed as so-called forerunners of human beings, including Java Man, discovered on the island of Java by the Dutch anatomist Eugene Dubois and claimed on the basis of a skull, which later transpired to belong to a gibbon, to be a so-called ancestor of human beings. Beijing Man was heralded as a forerunner of human beings on the basis of independent bone fragments found at different times over the course of a 10-year period in the area around Beijing. These fragments then mysteriously disappeared, leaving behind nothing more than fantastical pictures and models. Then there was the Pithecanthropus fossil, discovered in India in 1932, and alleged to represent the first stage in the supposed transition from ape to man. This was used as definitive evidence by evolutionists for 50 years, until it was realized in 1982 that the fossil actually belonged to an ancient species of orangutan. The fossil known as Lucy was discovered by the American anthropologist Donald Johanson in 1974 and was regarded as a symbol of evolution for decades. Subsequently, even evolutionists abandoned it when it was realized that Lucy actually belonged to an extinct form of chimpanzee. Then there was the skull fragment found near the town of Ors in Spain in 1983, announced to be the oldest human fossil in Europe, and inserted into evolutionist literature under the name of Orsman. Later it emerged that the skull fragment actually belonged to a 4-month-old monkey. These are just a few of the hoax fossils that evolutionists have come up with in order to provide supposed evidence for human evolution. In conclusion, all the paleontological, anatomical, and biological discoveries that have been made show that, like all other such claims, the claim of the evolution of man is completely invalid. The fossil record shows that throughout the course of history, human beings have always existed as human beings, and apes have always existed as apes. There is absolutely no concrete evidence of any familial link between human beings and apes. Apart from frauds, distortions, sleight of hand, misleading illustrations, and fictitious interpretations. The way that every one of the false proofs manufactured by evolutionists over the 30 years has been unmasked has led evolutionists in the direction of new and even more shameless frauds. A recent example is the hoax maintained by one evolutionist professor for 30 years, and that only then came to light. The fraud was announced in an article published in the August 16, 2004 edition of the German magazine Der Spiegel. The report described how the evolutionary anthropologist Professor Rainer Proch von Seton, head of the Frankfurt University Carbon Dating Laboratory since 1973, had deliberately distorted the ages of several important fossils. The lies told by the professor, who was forced to resign as a result of this development, are still described as facts in anthropology textbooks, and the authorities admit that radical changes need to be made in order for these to be corrected. According to the findings of the Commission of Inquiry, Professor Proch had systematically distorted the ages of a series of fossils unearthed in Europe, portraying them as thousands of years older than they actually were. The scandal regarding the evolutionist professor went even further than this. In addition to what we have just heard, the British daily The Guardian wrote that the professor had also manufactured fake fossils. The Guardian account included a statement from the university saying, "The commission finds that Professor Proch has forged and manipulated scientific facts over the past 30 years. The fraud came to light when fossil specimens unearthed in Europe and claimed by Professor Proch to date back to the Pliocene epoch came into doubt. They were sent to Oxford University for further tests. The results obtained from the university radiocarbon dating unit revealed a complete fiasco, as scientists describe it. It was realized that a female skeleton Proch had dated as 21,300 years old was in fact only 3,300 years old, and another one to which he attributed an age of 27,400 years transpired to belong to an old man who had died only some 250 years previously. Among the fossils to which the professor had attributed false dates was Hannhofersson man, which evolutionists had portrayed as a highly significant intermediate form. The false age attributed by Posch to Hon Hofersson Man was 36,000 years. Posch declared that this fossil represented an important missing link in so-called human evolution, and the fossil went on show in the Helms Museum in Hamburg. The walls of the museum were bedecked with posters depicting Hon Hofersson Man as an ape man in a completely fantastical manner. Tens of thousands of visitors flocked to the museum. However, the fossil was actually proof of evolutionist fraud rather than showing the validity of the theory of evolution. An enormous deception was being perpetrated. The truth emerged when the latest tests carried out in Oxford showed that the fossil, which evolutionists were presenting under an ape-man guise, was in fact only 7,500 years old. Hon Hofersson Man was an ordinary human being who lived a mere 2,000 years before such civilizations as Sumer and ancient Egypt, who had nothing whatsoever to do with the fictitious ape-man depicted on the posters. Evolutionists manufactured a fictitious ape-man from a human fossil and submitted this method, the true name of which is unequivocally fraud, before the public as science. Since evolutionists are devoid of any grounds apart from false and misleading evidence, they resort to all kinds of indoctrination, propaganda, and sleight of hand in order to keep their theory alive. As we have just seen, the way that evolutionists deceived tens of thousands of people by exhibiting Posch fraudulent fossil in a museum as evidence of evolution is one of the techniques in question. Sadly, evolutionists are still applying the same techniques and are attempting to impose the lie of evolution on public as if it were a scientific reality. Exhibitions of evolution held in many parts of the world are concrete examples of evolutionist propaganda, encouraging people to believe in an unscientific theory for totally ideological reasons by displaying false evidence of evolution. It is high time that the proponents of evolution realized that people are much more aware of such propaganda, which particularly targets children and young people, by mustering support from one section of the press than was the case in the past. This propaganda will no longer have the impact it once did. Modern science has proved that life and the nature is the work of an almighty and omniscient creator. The evidence that has accumulated over the decades in such areas of science as paleontology, microbiology, molecular biology, biochemistry, and genetics has definitively discredited the theory of evolution and proved that it is nothing more than a myth. As we have seen throughout the course of this film, evolutionists are in a state of despair because of science's failure to provide the evidence they seek, and they resort to manufacturing such evidence by unscientific means. That is the reason for the efforts to keep the theory of evolution, the worst deception in the history of science, on its feet by fraudulent means. New evolutionist frauds are inevitable, so as long as these efforts continue. It is crystal clear, however, that opposing the facts, and especially by resorting to deception and other unscientific methods, will continue to be a waste of time and bear no fruit whatsoever.